sports, no rock, no information. For mindless chatter, we're your station.
Hi, I'm Jack from Saugerties, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Did you know that Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM has its own app? The Wave Farm radio app, available for both iOS and Android, allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Wave Farm web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, the installations in the Wave Farm Art Park, and other partner streams. And you can also find us on the Bloomberg Connects app, where you can explore the Wave Farm Art Park installations and the Pomotsitok Wak Kulistok, an indigenous sound walk. Plan your visit and learn more about what Wave Farm has to offer at wavefarm.org.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Johnny of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello, this is Rob Lumberg of Uncontaminated Sound. Welcome to session or broadcast number 5. Today I have in studio, an honor to have him here, is David Garland, prolific broadcaster, musician, and visual artist. David, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rob. Great to be here.
Oh, again, sorry.
was I not on?
Is this thing working?
Yeah.
I just said thanks very much.
Of course.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
David, I first was introduced to your visual work at Lifeforms in Hudson a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and had the pleasure of having a heady conversation regarding arts, which yep. I love, of course. This is the ethos of Uncontaminated Sound. I guess where to begin? I mean, you have a prolific broadcasting career, visual art career, and back to a music career. So where do you begin? I guess
we could tell people what the nature of the exhibit was where we met, and that was some of my photography, which is a relatively new medium for me, and I use it to explore the possibilities of reflected sunlight. So they're abstract images, and yet they're very, at the same time, very concrete, very specific. But it has to do with light phenomena, and all that has just been the result of a whole lot of experimentation, and for me, a return to visual art making.
Now, when did you start that return to visual art making? I think I asked you in person at the time. Was it during the pandemic, a few years ago?
Yes, certainly that was part of it. But as a little kid, I was always drawing. I loved drawing, and people used to say, "Oh, you're going to go to art school?" And I thought, yeah, okay, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So I did go to art school. I went to Rhode Island School of Design. And while I was there, I was doing a lot of music. And moved to New York because New York was both the center of the art world and the music world that I was interested in. And ultimately, I got involved professionally in radio on WNYC, the New York public radio station. And so when I was doing my music and doing radio shows, I didn't have much time for visual work. I always just sort of thought, well, I never stopped entirely, but I figured that it was there when I was ready, or I would be ready when the time came, or something like that. What really gave me the time to get deeply involved in visual work again was my wife dying of cancer almost 6 years ago. So that gave me a big chunk of time, and that encompassed the pandemic as well, to experiment with the camera as a way of seeing the world. It was like the camera was this great tool for looking closely in a so-called focused way, at the natural world. That's what I was using it for.
Well, do you find, was it a different process than, say, composing pieces of music? Or did you use a different part of your brain or process regarding that?
I always did do visual art and music. And when I was... in New York, I moved to New York in the late 70s, and I was there in the 80s, and the whole idea of multidisciplinary, multimedia work was a big thing.
Yeah.
But I never felt they naturally really melded for me. So I let them be distinct.
Sorry, David. I may just have to shut the door.
Okay.
Regarding being in the New York City at the time, like, did you pull from the city, the energy wise? I could imagine it was spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. It was all very exciting to me. And one great thing for me being at art school and then being in New York City was just that you're around people who are as into what they do as anyone can possibly be. No one's just kind of dawdling or tinkering.
Yeah.
People get deeply into their ideas, and if they're creative, their work. And so I fit in with that because I'm pretty intense about what I do too. It was a very vital time and an exciting time. That whole moment where people were breaking down genres or combining genres, and that suited me just fine.
So there was really no like it was very acceptable to kind of just have hybrids of experimentation with different mediums, correct?
Right.
Sounds like, yeah. So RISD, you were very focused on the visual, though, I assume? I know you were also balancing music, but then after RISD, You go into more ad stuff, graphic design stuff for a while?
I did work for a scientific publisher doing graphic design for a total of 10 years.
Wow.
And that was, that allowed me to pursue my music in whatever way I wanted to.
Of course.
And then I had a musical friend who had a radio show on the Columbia University station.
Hmm.
And it was a weekly show. And he said, I can't do it every week. You want to alternate with me? And so that was my little introduction to being on the radio.
Oh, wow.
And I did that for a couple of years. Oh, and then he moved to Japan. So I had a weekly show all of a sudden. And I found I loved doing it. And I found that it was what I most wanted to do professionally. So it worked out. I was able to get a job.
So when you kicked off that show, though, it was just on a voluntary basis, I assume?
Yeah.
Nothing in pocket to do so.
No. And it was great. You know, New York's full of interesting people, and I'd have them on the air and play music. It was a music show.
Yeah, yeah. And then how did you jump on to WNYC, or how did you get into spinning on air, like? How did that develop, I guess?
Well, it grew out of what I had been doing on WKCR, the Columbia station. I reached the point where I thought, I really want to do this. And I knew someone who had a show on NYC, so I knew it was like maybe possible that I could do that too, and the timing was good.
Yeah.
And I started doing my show, Spinning on Air, pretty much right away, and it was a weekly program, usually kind of thematic. There's like an idea guiding the playlist, and I always tried to surprise the listener and, you know, delight them and take them on a journey, this kind of thing. And I did that for 28 years.
Hmm. Oh, that's amazing. Again, I'm so impressed. As I said prior off air, I would love to kind of have this conversation as well, where I bounce around. I have a degree in criminal justice myself, and ended up then studying graphic and web design in BU, and then picking up and moving to New York in 2016. That's when I found my craft with the lens, you know, and started documenting. Yeah. Musicians on Pace Magazine up and down the East Coast, more indie music and stuff like that. But as you might have seen, it grew into what it is today, or in the breadth of work it is today, capturing legends and all that, you know. And recently, it was kind of culmination of that in last couple of months, where I did capture, I think your friend too, Patti Smith, and the tribute to Patti Smith and at Carnegie, which was amazing performance, but also a bit of a pain to shoot, because as one knows, in the pits and you're up front in close, and I like those close shots, but in the back, in Carnegie, you have to shoot in the back kind of press pit, and you probably need a good shot. Probably need a good 400, 600 millimeter lens. I had to rent a 200 mil. So, but it was a very spectacular show with tributes by, you know, Bruce showed up, and, you know, Johnny Depp and all these celebrities. It was a spectacular evening. And so I don't know where I was going with that. It was just a bit about my journey, and then actually my transition from the city up here too, where I really became more introspective with the lens and started more studio work. I'm curious about your transition. I know you moved from the city about a decade ago or so.
Yeah, I guess. It's probably closer to 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
And for the first few of those years, I was, retained an apartment in the city, and I'd spend a couple nights down there because I was still doing the radio show. And then some nights up here, and I quickly got to feel more at home upstate. I grew up in Massachusetts, and you know, there was green and trees and forests and stuff, and I always kind of hoped I'd get back to that, but I didn't know how. But so yeah, it was it made a big difference. And I started, even before my wife got sick, I started using the camera more actively and experimenting and investigating things. And I did sort of feel like, oh, my visual thinking is coming together with my musical thinking more than it had in the past.
Mm.
So I'm still not necessarily trying to make multimedia work, though I have done a bit of that now. But I do feel like the upstate vibe and being in nature has had has opened me up both visually and musically.
Interesting.
And in similar ways, in that I'm exploring sort of natural phenomena, interacting with natural phenomena and light with photography and vibration with music, and light and sound are all part of one spectrum of vibration, different parts of that spectrum, but it's all quite related and exciting to me to feel that it's all my music work and my artwork is kind of making sense together.
No, there's a symbiosis. There is a symbiosis between your visuals and your musical stuff as you performed in the closing at Lifeforms. Mm-hmm. It sunk up with the projections too. It was really fascinating.
Yeah.
The viewer really immersed. Well, for me at least, I can't speak for the general viewership, but my mind. Well, with the music, transported myself into the imagery and the patterns and the movement of your light form. Light forms, yeah. So I'm curious then, where did you kind of start picking up the process for these outputs regarding your individual photographic process? Did you already have something in mind, or
no?
Or
you know, the
experimentation.
The images that I make these days are really the result of just seeing what was possible. It wasn't the case at all that I had sort of a vision of the kind of image I wanted to make, and then worked out technically how to create that image. No, it was more. I don't know. One thing led to another,
yes,
and that's
yes.
what—that's what always happens for me, if work is going interestingly in a creative way.
Hmm.
You investigate some sort of possibility. You're looking into some kind of process, and then suddenly a little thing happens. That's a surprise, and you think, "Oh, let's look into that some more."
Yeah,
I didn't know that was going to happen. And so that it keeps building on the sort of discoveries that come with the process, with the act of doing.
Yeah, I've been discovering that myself. Which for my kind of current series, which we've also discussed off air, called Material Symbiosis, where my investigations of found objects and also in suspense. Started in 2020 with when I did an online workshop, which was in Berlin, but it was really a workshop on creativity where we just had to find objects and document them and talk about them and present them in your and think about process. And that's when I really started and like, oh, this is where I've discovered my inquisitory process, because I've always wanted to be an investigator. That's why I studied criminal justice. But all these nodes tied together and everything up to now made sense for me, where I finally, after all these years of struggling with it, can identify as an artist or a creator, because there's been a duality within me for so long where I never felt comfortable as an artist per se, but this is my natural disposition is just to create and think about all these heady subjects and, you know, investigate the little detail and minute on that's left behind and as trace evidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it took me up to this point in the last you know, my experiences in New York to really discover that I am an artist, you know.
And well, I don't know how true it is for everybody, every artist, but I think being an artist is being an investigator.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that's where I found the process is, like, very similar when I started thinking mm-hmm. about it through this workshop, where I was forced to think about process. Before, I was just documenting, you know, like, I really loved just going to shows and documenting. Never thought about, you know, why, you know, the what my process, because I was just going and until I was forced to sit down and think about my process and then think about my other curiosities.
Yeah.
And it really was a really, it was a enlightening process where I was like, oh, this is why I kind of I'm fascinated with these subjects and then really dive deeper into it and then create a visual output. Which was like, oh, I can do this. Oh, I guess I am. So, but it's taken me a while to figure that out. But so I'm curious, though, as a lifelong artisan and musician, regarding like constantly creating, though, and creating this breadth of work over the span of years, have you ever gotten burned out, though, or like?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Haven't, because it's an investigation of what's possible for me, you know,
yeah.
And. You know, in music, I have never gotten tired of the possibilities of harmony.
Yeah.
There's always something, there's always an interesting way to go about it.
Yeah.
I write a lot of songs as well as some instrumental pieces, and I always try to find a way of doing something that I haven't heard before, but which feels right.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, you can always just sort of make something as weird as possible, but I'm not interested in that. I like to make something that's surprising, but works emotionally, works sonically.
Yeah.
And brings the listener to some kind of new place, kind of personal place that is in some sense my place or the place that I'm capable of making, because that's what I appreciate from other musicians, you know, bring me into your unique world.
Yeah,
I find that so exciting, so that's what I try to do too.
Yeah. I'm curious, how is there like a length of time from that like seedling of an idea to morph it into what you output into the world? Or like, is there a certain breath, or is it a process where it's like, oh, I like it, I'm going to just put it out there? Like, how, I guess, curious if there's a length of time, per se.
My work is carefully made, you know. I hope it feels spontaneous and real, but it's carefully made.
Yes.
I also sometimes put myself in improvisatory situations, and that's all about really paying careful attention, but it's also a one moment, you know, you make that moment happen, then it's past.
Yes.
I've just completed, it's not released yet, but I've just completed a new album of songs.
Oh, wow.
And that was an interesting process, because even though I've done a lot of songwriting, I hadn't lately because the lyrics weren't coming.
Yeah.
Or they weren't making sense to me. And it suddenly it all came together.
Yeah.
I had a few things that I had started previously, but it was all like, I forget if it was, maybe it was January and February. Suddenly I had an album worth of songs.
Wow.
So that was fun that came together, but it needed the right conditions. So even though I'm always working on something, it doesn't always work well.
Yes.
sometimes there have to be, you know, the moment has to be right.
So with this new breath of work, it's more lyrical as well? Comparatively to just strictly instrumental?
Well, I've always, like I say, I've been, you know, my first album came out in, I think it was 1987.
Wow.
It was called Control Songs, and they're all songs.
Yeah.
But the idea there was lots of people have written love songs, but I think the issue of control is also something that shapes our lives and our emotional lives. And so I wanted to write some songs about the issue of control. So that's what I did, coming at the topic from a variety of angles. But that sort of gives you some sense that, you know, I'm not thinking like the average singer-songwriter, generally.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. Thank you for giving me insight into the process. Because I'm always juggling like multiple ideas as well, but I've still figured out, I have yet to figure out how to be more efficient in my process, you know. But however, for me, it's like, oh, if I show Breath of Working and picks up, I've been like focused on my photographic work just to build more traction, and I really enjoy it. But I also, I play around with painting and the visual language as well. I'm always in myself. I'm always thinking about systems and information systems. As I also have done some work in like tech and UX design, stemming from my studies in graphic web design. Where I was like, oh, I really like understanding human behavior and how we interact with digital interfaces too. So that's an art form within itself of the constructing modular and adaptable environments.
It does sound like you're going in a lot of different directions.
But so, yeah, well,
I think it's interesting to work in a variety of media. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, you can do so many different things," and I don't always say this, but I think to myself, you know, it's not that hard, really.
Yeah.
If you can think creatively in one medium, you can probably think creatively in another medium. And then it's just a matter of putting in the time to gain technical skill.
Yes.
But so if you know how to experiment, if you know how to get excited about a process, then that can be applied to painting, to photography, to music, whatever.
Yes. Well, I see everything I play around with is like leads to, say, even my visual studies with the paint dictates better photography, you know, like, so it adds just a different thinking process that will lead to better photographic work, I guess. Because if I don't do it, I kind of get built up without painting for a while. Because I need to get that train of thought of how lines or like layers of paint interact with each other, so then I am freed up for my photographic process. If that makes sense, it's regarding technology, it was more for I picked it up. It was natural for me, and then also I had to make a living for myself.
Yeah.
So ideally I would rather just totally focus on my photographic practice and build that up, which I'm trying to do, but ups and downs of solely focusing on a creative practice.
Well, that's something that changed for me in the last years. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I guess I've sort of officially retired,
yes,
but I'm a very active as an artist and musician. So now I'm finally the full-time artist musician I always hoped to be. Mm. So that is one reason for my increased output.
Of course.
I have all the time I need.
Yes. Well, just reflecting back, you know, to the 20 years on air, and I know obviously over that span of time it's like pick one moment, but like any like really outstanding cherishing moments that you still linger, like hold on to, that like stand out, or any interesting tales.
Well,
I assume, but
yeah, I don't know that I have amazing anecdotes. Mm. But I was always proactive with my radio show. I sought out interesting things to present and interesting people. And I did, over the years, I did a whole bunch of shows co-hosting with John Zorn, who's a super creative composer.
Yeah.
And I, there's a singer-songwriter who was active in the 50s named Connie Converse, who was totally unknown, and I played her music for the first time on the air.
Wow.
First time since, you know, 1954 or
something. Amazing, yeah.
And so a whole big interest in her work. And someone wrote a book about her, and some music's been released. So
wow.
I played an important part in making the world aware of Connie Convert. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I got to have Yoko Ono on the show and Sufjan Stevens very early in his career.
Wow.
I had all sorts of people on, and some of them, you know, sort of got traction and went big. And
yes.
Others didn't. But so it was fun to play some sort of part in yeah. in giving people more exposure.
Well, I could imagine just having, you know, conversations. I must dive deeper into Spinning on Air or in the archives. But did you have them perform as well, or was there mm-hmm. live in-studio performances? Or?
Yeah. Over the years, you know, 28 years of the program, it was chiefly, at first, a program of recordings.
Yes.
You know, albums. It was actually, you know, I started before there were any digital media. We were playing records.
Yeah.
And then I started having guests of one kind or another. And for the last 10 years of the show, it was quite regularly an in-studio guest.
Someone, oh, wow.
And we had a great facility.
Yeah.
And we were right in New York City. So it was easy to get musicians who were playing in town to come over. And so we had you know, we were able to record a band, and I'd interview them, and then I'd do the mix and put it all together for
oh,
the
cool.
year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on your Flickr now, and I see all these shots, too.
Oh, yeah. all my guests.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Were you shooting in the studio? Yeah, that's in the studio?
Yes, most of those were shot wow. in the WNYC
Obviously, I see
studio.
Some on-stage stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah, that's the Spinning on Air Flickr.
Was that conversation, or were you in the midst of recording and... Like, what was that process like, I guess? Or?
Well, when someone would come in for a session, mm-hmm. I would bring my camera. It's funny because there was some point, I guess, when there started to be online accompaniment to the radio show.
Yeah.
You know, it used
yeah.
to be that there was no adjunct media.
Yeah.
Initially, it was just a broadcast. But when that became possible, I thought, I ought to bring my camera. Take a picture or two of these people.
Yes.
So
yes.
That was what really put the camera in my hands for the
really?
First time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So prior, you didn't really like focus on camera work. Well, obviously,
you know, like when I was at art school,
yeah,
I thought,
yeah.
you know, photography is interesting, but it's too big.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't dabble.
Hmm.
So I didn't really even touch it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. No, it's fascinating. I also have my camera here. I like to do posts for in-studio guests to post snaps, too.
All right, yeah. Good.
It's cool to have somebody in with the headphones on and the mic in front of their face. And yeah. I just love, just capturing the moments and having a recording of this month, you know, or this time in studio of that person. And which was interesting. I was fortunate to audition with Galen Dorsey, which was a fascinating conversation, and hear about her prolific career and with David Bowie and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So I do enjoy this process in broadcasting.
I think it's a great medium.
Yes,
I really do believe in radio.
Mm.
I love the idea of the material that's going out. Like we're live, the audience might not realize that, but this isn't on tape. We're right here in the studio right now, and I kind of love that the signal is being received by a whole lot of individuals in their own place, but it's a communal experience. We're all experiencing this actual moment right now.
Yeah, it's totally unlike. Podcasting, you know, where you can just pre-record these, well, interesting in narratives and conversations or whatever you wish. But I like this dynamic of thinking, well, between interviewer and interviewee, but then also the live audience, too. That dynamic is really interesting to me because I've always, we mentioned, I'm so used to just capturing live performance. So being the performer out to a live audience it was initially and still is kind of nerve-wracking, I don't try to be anybody else, but I'm just like, oh, I'm going live. I have to be highly aware of this broadcast entity, you know, and being aware of the listeners a bit. But then once I get over that initial hump, it's just natural conversation from here. and after you left or once you were finished with the WNYC or NYC, did you continued spinning on air for a while?
Yes, I did. As a podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
I did my best with that, and I'm proud of some of the things that I put out. But I found I didn't love. I was sort of done with radio. It's not like I was fed up with the medium.
Yeah.
But I had been, I thought of it as sort of like, well, there's no money in podcasting. And it's sort of like, you know, if you asked a bank president, you know, do you, now that you're finished in your, as the president of the bank, but would you like to keep doing that work for nothing?
And you're like, no.
No. I produced a bunch of shows, and then we learned of my wife's illness. I just sort of put it completely on the back burner.
Yes.
And I don't think I'll resume.
Hmm.
Well, because I'm busy with a lot of other things now.
No, I was going to add to that, of course, with the visual stuff. It's, you have momentum after life forms. And to get back to that, what impact emotionally did the situation with your unfortunate situation with your wife have on your art making, or did you really dive into that emotional aspect? Or and I don't mean to dive deep into that.
Well,
it
created a musical project with my son, who's a musician.
And by the way, how old is your son now?
He's 36.
Oh wow, yeah,
Kenji Garland.
Okay,
he's a young man. it's difficult to describe the technical setup, in a nutshell, my 12-string guitar and his synthesizers have a conversation, and they form sort of a single voice, which comes out of the body of the guitar.
Yes.
So it is, there is electrical power as part of this, but the end result is not, the end result is the vibrating wood of the guitar body and the wire of the strings.
Mm.
So it's not like we're making an amplifier play. But so we started, it was Kenji's idea to sort of make this tandem instrument and investigate the possibilities. And we started doing that during my wife's illness and her cancer treatments. So she'd come home from chemo and have to rest in bed, and Kenji and I would play music for her downstairs. We put out a couple albums before Anne died, and we've put out some albums since of our work together. And we call the project Garlands. There are now 8 volumes, all titled Vulneraries, Volume 1, Volume 2, etc. And that's instrumental music of a sort of, we think of it as a kind of healing music, healing as a motivating aspect, but it's not sort of wind chimes and Tibetan bowls. It's some of it's a little sort of raw and angry as well.
Well, I've been kind of diving into, or just self-studies of, like, in actually healing myself with sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of sound to heal myself, because additionally to my story, I've spoken about this on air several times and on my podcast, but it's drastically affected my life up till now as the repercussions of a severe head injury in a car accident in Brooklyn.
Awful.
2017. I'm still dealing with the repercussions.
Yeah.
And what I found most works has been the energy healing, sound baths,
mm-hmm.
Just having that in dance music, in dance and movement. And I've
uh-huh.
tapped into the power of rhythm and sonic waves into my frontal lobe, one would say, and just the power of healing through that type of energy. So I was curious if you had any studies or understanding of the kinetic energy of sound in the soul and spirit, one would say. Not even the nervous system one to go more practical instead of like holistic, but there is an intrinsic connection I feel with sound and like one's body or nervous system or natural system where it can regenerate with certain tones and waves. And I'm just curious if you've ever dove into that.
I haven't tried to sort of understand the possibilities medically.
Yes. Yeah.
But the process of making music with Kenji requires us both to be super attentive, because our instruments are, it's not necessarily like a violin or a piano, which if you don't press down the key or bow the string, the instrument will be silent. Well, our instruments have voices that we can make them happen, but they will also happen on their own.
Yes.
It's not just, I'm going to make this sound now. It's like, ooh, what sound is happening? So it's a super kind of meditative concentration that we experience playing the music, making the music. And that, for me, that's the most healing part of it. It's a kind of meditation.
Yeah. In the process itself.
Yeah. And I hope, you know, if the listener is obviously invited to, you know, focus on in that concentrated way too, if they choose.
Do we have, do you have any sample tracks? I'm on Bandcamp now. And
mm-hmm.
is there anything that I should kind of highlight or we can play? Or? I'm sorry.
Let's see. My latest thing was a reworking of it's on the top there, the first item, Noise in You. That's a reworking of an album from a few years ago. I had some new ideas of how to put it together. So,
listeners, I'm going to put on this track. Is it okay to play Every Bird?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I am going to play a little track from Noise in You, new version by David Garland, and here we are.
Waiting in the wings of every bird are memories that fill the hollow bone. Flexible as flame or as the rain, they find their way without being shown. You can call it fate or instinct or a sixth sense, or a tumbling down, a failing of alternatives that are too immense.
Bird's eyes view what I can't see, and I can't know. Pterodactyls and the fractal form, and a lack of vertigo.
The truth of proof is incontrovertible. estimating lift and load and wind velocity while you're in the air, dodging the abyss like this while falling into it is more than I dare. I'm not sure my wingspan reaches quite far enough, but I have a plan to tumble unrestrainedly and see where I end up.
The truth, the proof, the rope and the noose, the ruse, the roof and the floor, the door, the dump and the do, the me and the you, the grass, the gas, the grunt and the groan, alone again and again, the bone, the rain and the flame, nothing's the same.
Wow. That was Noise and You, new version.
That's the title of the album.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I'm also... So what was the title of the track? I'm sorry.
Every Bird.
Every Bird.
And
Every Bird.
That was fun for me to bring together a bunch of voices. I sang on it, Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, wow.
A guy named Viking Moses, Brendan Massey. And a woman named Mira Romanchuk, who's Finnish. And so it was fun to create this sort of chorus and conversation with one another.
Oh, yeah, and it was wonderful. And when did you record that? I'm sorry if I'm missing the metadata here.
Maybe it was recorded around 2007.
Oh, wow.
And then I did a new version of the mix just last year.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So how this new stuff you mentioned and it's unreleased right now. When do you when do you envision kind of releasing that stuff?
I'd love to do it soon.
Yeah.
But I, you know, one has to plan for at least a little bit of publicity, and so that puts it months away. But
of course. Yes.
So I'd like the new album, which I'm so far calling The Spark, to be released in the fall, I guess. September, maybe, something like that.
And the thread of light and also
That's
actually
right.
Spark. Spark could be energy, light, ignition. Interesting. Have you evolved in sound, or you just build off like I as being totally naive in the music making aspect of things? Do you kind of build off your previous stuff, or is this a different sound?
I never aspire to do anything the same way twice.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And I don't contrive to have a sound, but I figure if it's my brain that's making all this music, then it'll be coherent.
Yeah,
you know, each piece will sort of relate to the others, and this new album of songs is actually one of my most conventional in terms of instrumentation.
Hmm.
There's drums on most tracks. I'm not someone who assumes that every song needs drums. Sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But there are drums on all the tracks, and some of the song forms are fairly standard. Bridge, chorus, introduction, outro, all this stuff. And it's been fun for me to play with trying to be unconventional with the conventions.
And who are you collaborating with this on this album? Is it yourself or your son or
it's
anybody
mostly
else?
Me,
local?
But the Julian Lampert is the double bassist, and Otto Hauser plays the drums, and mostly the rest of it's me.
Okay, And, are you in Catskill proper or Hudson area?
I live in Red Hook.
Oh, Red Hook, yes, yes. Yeah, I'm fairly new to the area myself in Hudson, almost a year and a half now, but still discovering the outer echelon of the region here. And it's been really interesting, really interesting vibe here, interesting people. And I know you just meet up at, what cafe is that?
Joust Cafe here in Catskill.
Yes, yeah. Forgive my ignorance. I come here just once a month, apparently. And
We have...
you have jam sessions?
My son Kenji and I and three other friends improvise music every Monday morning, starting at 8:30.
Wow.
Playing until 10. And we never know what's going to happen. But again, like the work that I do just with Kenji, it's all a matter of being very attentive. We try to build music together. You know, it's like a kind of the concept is perhaps more like instant composition than, you know, a kind of improv free-for-all. And we've been doing that for years now.
Wow. Do you record any of that by any chance?
Yes, the guys record it every week.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And some of it's been put out, I think. And we're going to play at Avalon, another place here in Catskill, on the last Sunday of the month.
Ah, this month, right?
Yeah.
I forget what month this is. I can't believe it's already June, or actually mid-June already. Wow. Yeah. But end of the month, this month, you're performing Avalon, you said?
Yeah, in the evening.
Oh, evening.
So,
wow.
I mean, there are a lot of people who say, that's so cool that you do that Monday morning gig, but I could never go. I'm in bed. So here's a chance for the sleepyheads to hear Music for Furniture. That's what we call the ensemble.
Oh, I was about to ask if you had a group name.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating and wonderful, too. Do you have people that, like, in the mornings just show up to just listen?
Yeah. Yeah, a few regulars.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Otherwise, it's just there for whoever happens to go into Joust, which is a very pleasant cafe.
Yes, yeah. And that in the morning seems like a magical time to perform, too. Regarding my process, the creative process, I find the morning, too, just so lucid, and I generally do a lot of writing in the morning in free form and get my thoughts in the morning, so I can imagine with the music and it's so more lucid as well. I don't know if you
love
that.
It. It's a great way to start the week.
And,
you know, when especially the last years when I was on the radio, I did a lot of evening shifts.
Yes, yeah.
So I'd get home sometime after midnight and couldn't possibly really relax enough to go to bed until 2 a.m. And boy, has that changed. Here, I get up with the sun and go to bed early. That's the Hudson Valley way.
So you have the new breadth of work in constantly performing as well musically. What do you see, envision, like your photographic work? I know you had was that your first showing of your
no,
your,
I've had
I've stuff
had a
at
few
Lifebox?
Shows in just the last couple of years. Last year I had a show at Headstone Gallery in Kingston. Well, I hope for another show, and I'm sort of nursing this idea of wanting to make a book of my images, because I think they'd be well suited to the that process of turning the page.
I can envision that as well.
So I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen.
A book is a different also process, but also a unique way to interact as a viewer or art lover, to interact with your work in a different manner than just a gallery setting as well.
Yes. I like the literally hands-on quality. And I've been pretty, not super prolific as a composer, but steady. I've been steadily producing music. And with the photography, I take thousands of pictures, as most photographers probably do. So I've got, something like 4,000 images that I consider to be the good ones. I like the idea of bringing as many as possible together into the book format. So as, again, kind of a meditation.
Now, would you ever do a memoir with the span of experiences and the, you know, and your just impressive resume in life? And would you ever do a memoir?
Well, I do like to write about my thoughts, as I do sometimes on Instagram, where I'm David Garland Makes. But no, I don't think I have a memoir. I don't. I have a lot of thoughts about how the world works and how people work, but I don't have the urge to tell someone else, to advise someone else, or try to guide anyone else. Yeah. You know, so I don't think I'll be writing a book.
Well, maybe if I reframe it, what if a biographer wanted to do a biography or a biopic?
biopic. That would be
who would
a boring
play you
movie.
As a who would be the actor that played you?
A lot of the excitement in my life has been interior.
Yes,
you know? I don't think it would make a good movie.
Well, it's always the challenges of trying to showcase the interior world of
right.
Interesting subject for a biopic, but also I always like to ask these question of like any lessons for younger generations in the creative realm, lessons learned in your expanse of your career. That
well, yes,
yeah,
yes. I mean, I just said that I don't like to advise people, but I do. And I don't have
yes,
advice,
yeah, of course.
But I
yeah.
do want to encourage
yeah.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just
it's make, it's yeah. really about the process.
Yeah.
If you want to be an artist because you want to put something on the wall, then you're not that likely to be a good artist.
Yeah.
But if you want to make art because you find the whole process of doing that, and the process of discovery and invention to be super exciting.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be an artist.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. It's the doing, the involvement with a process, a conceptual process, maybe a practical process, you know, paint on a canvas and what, just the potential for what can happen.
Yeah.
You've got to be curious and you've got to do.
Yeah. Just go out, explore your inner self or like interests and,
well, and do.
And do.
Make.
Yeah, make. Yeah. Make. That's your handle on Instagram.
don't think about
yeah,
it.
Just,
I mean, the thinking
yeah.
is good, but
yeah.
Let the thinking grow out of the doing rather than
yeah.
the other way around.
Just investigations of making, and then the thought processes come from that
yeah.
to go deeper with that node of investigations. Interesting. Oh, yeah, fascinating. And so people can find you every Monday at Joust, or
yep.
most likely 8:30 a.m.
Yep.
Yeah. Which I still have to come and wake up and check that session
well,
out
do,
as well.
They do have coffee at
Joust. Oh, I do love my coffee, and that's where some of the nerves come in when I'm like, yeah, too much coffee before air. I'm like, ah. We only have a few minutes left.
Okay.
I don't have a sign out or call. You know, I just like to end with that type of question of, mm-hmm. about creatives. And again, thank you for your time and discussion on creativity. People can, again, go to your Instagram, David Garland Makes, to check
yeah.
out your visual work.
Yeah.
And just Google David Garland. You can find that whole history of
yeah,
your music
we learned
and
that
broadcasting.
At
so.
The moment, my website is inaccessible,
yes.
but we're going to fix that.
Of course, of course. But we're about to wrap with the Uncontaminated Sounds Session 5. I hope our viewers enjoyed this discussion in Uncontaminated Sounds. And everybody listening, have a wonderful summer afternoon. All right.
No, summer's tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Today's
so still
the last day
early,
of spring.
Late spring afternoon. Thank you for the correction. I feel like already, though, it's kind of
yeah,
sticky day.
It is. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.